I'd like to add my welcome to Virgil's that he expressed this morning for all who are present with us today. For some of you, this you may get a strong sense of deja vu, as if you've been here before, and in some ways you have. A couple weeks ago, I brought a lesson about how things can happen suddenly in our physical lives. You know, car wrecks and accidents and stock market crashes and any number of different things. And how people very frequently will recognize that and prepare for such things, you know, by purchasing health insurance and car insurance and any number of those things. Because once the event happens, it's typically too late to do anything about it. So you have to get ready for it. And we try to draw a number of different parallels between that and our spiritual lives, where, you know, sometimes suddenly, you know, there is sudden temptation or there's a sudden opportunity to talk to someone about, you know, God's word or to do good, etc. And the different things that we can do as Christians to, you know, better prepare for those, you know, kind of sudden, unexpected events. Okay. Today we're going to take that coin, if you will, and turn it over and look at the other side, so to speak, and not sudden, but sustained. And us as Christians needing to be prepared for what is prolonged. Not all of a sudden, but long duration kind of things. So it's, as I said, it's going to be a strong sense of deja vu, because in many ways I could take the same slides and the same graphics and just bring them over. Now, in case you missed the first sermon, it's on our website underneath our sermons button. It's also, at least in a written form, on our blog as well. So if you want to go back and see the first side of the coin, it's there on the website, BibleQuestions.org. So let's start talking about preparing for what is prolonged. Well, let's start off with the physical. And Rob didn't know it, but he kind of greased the skids for me this morning in his class. And, you know, he started talking about things that happen over a prolonged period that can be, like, adverse. And thank you very much. Changing tires, changing oil. He mentioned that this morning. You know, if we own something, if we have something, you know, our car, our home, the landscaping, gardens, whatever the case may be, you know, we recognize that sometimes there are things that happen slowly. And things decay. And, you know, wear and tear on a car, paint decay on the house, weeds in the garden, whatever. It's not a sudden overnight kind of thing. It's kind of like a long, slow progression. And similarly, often with our environment, you know, air pollution, water pollution, traffic congestion, people moving in the area over a number of different years, and the slow accumulation of pollution. For example, in our finances, you know, often with the ease of access to things like credit cards, you know, if you're not careful, very slowly over time, you will get yourself in over your head, you know, financially, you know, with credit card debt. Inflation happens that way, you know, just a slow, gradual price increase, and, you know, 5, 10, 15 years go by, and now all of a sudden, you know, what you could buy for so much is a lot more expensive. Your wages haven't kept up. Things are getting tight. Again, slowly kind of thing. Health kinds of things, you know, sedentary lifestyle, slow progress of weight gain, slow progression of, you know, diabetes and heart problems, slow growing cancer, etc. Just getting older. And all of the sorts of, you know, arthritis and memory problems. Again, very slow accumulation over time. Or, and those are like bad things, you know, that they just slowly decay over time. At the same time, there's some sustained kinds of things that you have to keep doing in order to be successful. And we certainly recognize that in, like, the healthcare profession, where, you know, you have to go through, you know, primary education, got to go up to college, you have to go, you know, secondary postgraduate education, got to go to your residency, your internship. Many, 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 many years of persistent preparation is required. You know, certainly something similar true in terms of the military. You know, prolonged training is needed. You know, professional sports, amateur sports. You know, people who dedicate themselves as amateurs for Olympic competition. Now, you read stories about people that just, you know, pretty much have to dedicate their lives almost every waking moment, day after week after month after year, to be able to achieve the kind of level that's needed for success. In our culture, we have a number of different sayings that kind of recognize this. And I'll just give you a few phrases here. And again, kind of either for, you know, the persistent need to continues to lean forward, push forward, achieve, whatever, or the danger of the slow decay on the negative side. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Penny saved is a penny earned. Use it or lose it. In fact, we mentioned that in class this morning. Never give up. Or if you prefer Vince Lombardi, winners never quit and quitters never win. Even in terms of individual words, you know, synonyms like persistence, tenacity, grit, determination, resolve, staying power, endurance, dedication, doggedness, stamina, just goes on and on. In terms of the frequency of the kinds of synonyms and phrases that we often encounter, because people recognize that some of these are, you know, you're in it for the long haul, and it takes a long time to, you know, achieve, you know, some of the positive things, keep on keeping on, etc. And of course, the why is relatively obvious, you know, because either you have to be prolonged to endure or to achieve, or slowly over time, it's going to get worse, going to decay, etc. And as we've already mentioned, recognized wildly, and again, major difference between success and failure. Physically viewed. So how do people overcome this? And you'll notice that we'll take these same categories and apply them to spiritual things. And you may notice the graphics were repurposed from last time. Thinking ahead. Relatively simple point, but let's drive it home. That depending upon the situation, you have to realize this is a long-term commitment. Whether it's a long-term commitment to a career, long-term commitment to some sort of, you know, endurance sports, you know, sort of thing, etc. Thinking ahead in terms of putting reminders on a calendar, you know, constantly thinking ahead to, you know, think of some kind of motivating factor that can keep you moving forward. Upward. Certainly a lot of different ways of getting education and training and recognizing the early signs of decay, automobile for instance, etc. You know, warning indicators on dashboards and such. Sometimes people will study the techniques and examples of successful people and try to emulate that, for instance, in a number of different, you know, similar ways. Sometimes it comes down to kind of practicing these kinds of things, you know, developing good habits. You know, something as simple as brushing your teeth every day, right? To prevent the slow, gradual decay, just as a simple example. We mentioned, you know, periodic maintenance, health checkups, etc. And a fourth major category, just trying to pay attention, right? To be mindful, to watch out for signs that, you know, you're slipping, decay, etc. Okay. Now, all that's physical, but I think we can easily draw parallels, if you will, in our spiritual life as well. So, likewise, in our spiritual lives, there are a number of things, challenges, both challenge to constantly do good or challenges to avoid sliding into evil, both ways, that happen slowly as well. And the reason we may want to emphasize this, because last time in the last lesson, you know, we emphasized the need to take care of these things because they can happen suddenly, unexpectedly. You got to prepare in advance before they happen, right? In this case, it's almost like just the opposite, because it can kind of slowly creep up on you without you even realizing it. things like what? Well, how about slow exposure to temptation? And when I say slow exposure, the kinds of things I guess I have in my mind often are like with cultural shifts that slowly happen over the years. New words get introduced into the popular vocabulary that you don't think anything about until you actually look at the meaning. You go, that's not something I should be talking about. Slow shifts in dress, modesty, for instance. Slow shifts in behavior and what's acceptable culturally. And again, unless we're careful, we just may not even realize it. And before long, we're doing it too. It's like, uh-oh, watch out. And we just kind of just ease on into it, or just slowly creeps into our lives, you know, like the weeds creeping into the garden. And before you realize it, what was this little thing is now this big, huge, ugly, gnarly thistle, and it's taken over our lives. Doing good, but since it's a long, hard slog, starting to grow weary in the process, right? And that can cover any number of different things, like attendance, you know, and that's a pretty, you know, obvious, you know, physical kind of thing. Bible study, prayer, just doing good in general. That, you know, over time we can either become weary or become complacent, and I don't know which is worse. And these things just kind of start to slide, and before you know it, you've suddenly. I shouldn't say suddenly. Over the slow accumulation of time, you're now to a point that when you go back and compare it to where you were, you're suddenly, boom, you know, way off base. Again, slow. The other thing, which I'll offer up, taking things for granted, right, which can happen very slowly over time. I mean, in physical sense, you know, we take for granted, you know, the electricity in the building, any number of different, you know, technology things, et cetera. The kinds of things in a spiritual sense that I'm thinking about here would include things like the religious freedoms we enjoy in this country so far. All of God's blessings, yeah, not only of a spiritual nature that we may need to remind ourselves from time to time, like we did this morning with the Lord's Supper, but also physical blessings that we just take for granted. I mean, the air that we breathe, right? As part of the creation and all of that, we just so easily just kind of, oh yeah, it's there. You know, taking for granted these things, taking people for granted, right? Spouses, fellow Christians, etc. Just over time, we're, you know, they're, you know, always there, and it's like, oh, okay. And we fall into a mindset or attitude that we just kind of like, you know, they're always there, so okay, no big deal, right? We just, again, take them for granted. And, you know, you can probably think of some other things as well. That, you know, in terms of the life of a Christian and the commitment that's involved, it is, as we say, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And in some cases, I guess you could say it's a marathon of sprints because, like, every day you're out there trying to do what you need to do. Okay. And like with the physical stuff, you know, there is a need to be, quote-unquote, persistent in these things. Either persistent in, you know, trying to do for good, or persistent in looking for things that are starting to decay. Again, you know, like our cars and gardens and such. Well, spiritually speaking, there's a number of phrases. And, you know, you could reuse those phrases as well that we talked about earlier. You know, the need to keep on keeping on, the need to be persistent, you know, never give up, etc. You know, that's certainly applicable in the spiritual world as well. And again, from a spiritual perspective, same as with the physical, with slow decay, things can accumulate before you even realize it, or that persistent effort is needed to get to the goal, in which case we're talking salvation, heaven, etc. A little bit different, though, because in some cases, people can pretty much... A lot of people, going back to the previous sermon, a lot of people recognize and make provision for things that suddenly happen. Because, you know, it's a big splash in the media, And they realize, well, you know, that could happen to me, so I'm going to go out and get, you know, whatever the case may be, insurance, fire alarm, smoke detectors, whatever. In the slow world, yeah, now that might be a little bit more hard, a little bit harder for people physically to recognize that. And a lot of people, you know, may not recognize the need in a physical sense. Often, unfortunately, even more so in a spiritual sense, you know. Things like casual attitudes, or I might say worldly attitudes about the need for persistent, regular, you know, study, prayer, attendance, etc. You know, quote unquote, it isn't that important. Well, but it is. Well, you mean am I be in trouble if I miss this one thing? Well, you know, maybe not, but you know, now you start slowly over time drifting. That's not good. Within our culture, often this need for a long-term endurance in spiritual matters gets swept under the rug because of a lack of emphasis on accountability. And you say, well, Jeff, what do you mean by that? Within a lot of religious groups today, the doctrine of quote-unquote once saved, always saved is one of the dominant themes. And so if quote-unquote all my future sins have already been forgiven, and if quote-unquote all of Jesus' righteousness has been imputed to me, and hence God only sees Jesus, not me, quote-unquote, then, hey, I don't need to worry about the future. I don't need to worry about being persecuted. Oh, yes, God would be appreciative if I did some of these things, but hey, it's no big deal, right? No, not according to the scriptures. The other side of that coin about the, you know, not being recognized widely, is a sense of overconfidence. You know, oh, I could handle this. Yeah, I'm handling it. I'm good. I'm better than them. We mentioned that in our class this morning, right? And so we lull ourselves into this false sense of confidence, actually overconfidence. And likewise with the physical, it really makes the difference between success and failure. Except in this case, in a spiritual sense, failure is not just missing out on an award in a sporting event. We're talking about eternal failure. Very serious, very consequential. So let's go over to the Bible and kind of illustrate with some examples, which we did in the previous lesson. Now, in these examples, what we have are people that had some sort of prolonged spiritual, you know, situation, and at least for the first batch, didn't do so well. And so hopefully we can learn from that. And then we'll have a second batch of those who similarly had a, you know, prolonged spiritual kind of thing and did much better. Okay. Let's start off with Eli and his sons, one of the last judges, also a priest. 1 Samuel 2, you can read about him and his sons. Evidently, if you kind of read the account over some kind of prolonged period, his sons, who were also priests, were not doing what they should. I mean, seriously sinning, encouraging others to sin, which is bad enough, but they were also priests at the same time. And evidently, it appears that Eli had, you know, a number of different opportunities, occasion to correct, instruct, rebuke, disbar, if you will, his sons out of these positions. And it just slipped by. And God held him accountable for it, for what he, you know, could have, should have done. And perhaps there's a lesson there with us and our families. One of the sadder cases was Solomon. I mean, a man blessed by God, not only with wealth and fame, more so wisdom, but he had a flaw in his character. And over the slow process of time, that flaw became readily apparent. You can read about that in 1 Kings 11, where this very devoted, righteous, God-fearing person wound up sacrificing to idols and going along with what the rest of his family wanted to go along with. Multiple idols, introduced Jerusalem. I don't know about introduced, but at the very least, brought all of this, you know, pagan worship, you know, into and endorsed by him as king. and his wives pretty much turned his heart away from serving God. And perhaps there's a lesson there that, that we can learn within our own families. Again, about the slow wearing away of what we believe to be right, slow compromise, a little bit here, a little bit there, and pretty soon you wind up way far away from where you ever started. Elijah. Now, honestly, I don't know if I would characterize this under sudden or if I would characterize it under prolonged. For the purpose of today's discussion, let's put it under prolonged. 1 Kings 19:14. So Elijah has been doing, you know, a lot of good over a long period of time within the kingdom, with Ahab, etc. And gets to the point where he's just ready to, you know, cash it in, so to speak. 1 Kings 19:14. And this is Elijah talking. Quote, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Ready to give it up. And of course, the Lord kind of says, okay, well, first of all, your perspective is walked up, because there's a lot more people out there than what you may realize. They're faithful. Hey, there's a lesson for us. And oh, by the way, Elijah, get busy. I got some work for you to do. There's a lesson for us there as well. How about some of Jesus' teaching? The parable of the sower. Remember the thorny ground? Not the stony ground, not the wayside. You know, the wayside and the birds came and, you know, snatched up the seed suddenly. Okay. Not the the other kind of, you know, stony ground where, yep, they popped up, but a little bit of persecution and they immediately fall away. Not that one. The thorny ground. Seed gets in, germinates, sprouts, starts to grow. Great. But the weeds start growing too. Again, like we were talking earlier with the garden, except now in a spiritual sense. And it starts to choke out the good plants, so they don't grow very well. Is there a lesson there for us? Matthew 13. Yes, very much so. Cares of this world, riches, etc. So a lot of examples where, you know, in a sustained sense, people didn't do very well. How about in a good sense? Well, let's start with Noah. And again, we'll kind of work our way down chronologically. Now, there's some difference of opinion, but if you turn over to Genesis 6, verse 3, the Lord is talking about allowance for 120 years. Some people think that refers to lifespan. I don't know. Some people think it refers to the amount of time Noah was busy building the ark. If that's the case, we're talking about a multi-decade project where Noah had to persist, huge effort, you know. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. You know, I see him and his family working on this project. I don't necessarily see, you know, tens and hundreds and thousands of other people helping him build this boat like, you know, people did building the pyramids. Yeah, just them out there every day, you know, trying to build this thing. And again, that may just be me. But it does speak to, again, the persistence. In this case, physical construction, spiritual, you can, you know, make application. How about God's call to Abram, Genesis 12? Get up, go. I forget how old he was. 75, give or take? Okay. So Abram may not realize it, but okay, so we got a job for you for at least the next, you know, 30 plus years. Because you got to come over here and do a bunch of things. And again, he persisted with that. Genesis 39. How about Joseph? And I think talked a little bit about, you know, Joseph in some of the Bible classes downstairs. If you think in terms of Joseph, persistence with doing what's right in Potiphar's house, despite the advances of his wife, doing what was right in prison, despite being forgotten by the guys he helped out, doing what's right as a leader for a number of years, and having that final opportunity to get even with his brothers who had sold him into slavery so many years prior, and yet, again, persistently doing what was right. Moses in the wilderness, 40-some-odd years dealing with these people, persisting through that. All right, fine, there was some sudden things that happened, you know, near the end, but viewed as a whole, as an example, good example. How about David when being pursued by Saul, 1 Samuel 18? How about Daniel? You know, first of all, serving as a relatively young man in the service of the Babylonian leadership under Nebuchadnezzar, later under Belshazzar, with the Medo-Persians, Darius, etc. Several different cases where, you know, things kind of came up that could have just easily caused him to give up. But no, again, persistent. Decade after decade after decade. How about Nehemiah, rebuilding of the wall? Nehemiah 4, verse 6. For the people had a mind to work. Coming over to the New Testament, how about Paul? Yep. How about Jesus? Better example. 3+ years, give or take, not counting growing up. And all of the temptations, trials, persecution, right? Just slowly, you know, keep on keeping on, despite all of that. Good example. Paul, we talked about. It's all the various missionary journeys, and especially in prison, and just the continued, you know, keep on keeping on, regardless of what's going on around it. And there's a good lesson learned. The one I didn't put on the list, which I realized was like, well, duh, God. If you think about God, and all the verses in the Bible that talk about him being long-suffering and patient, several different verses, Exodus 34, verse 6, Numbers 14, verse 18, Psalms 86, 15, Romans 9, 22. If you're taking notes, you can see me afterwards, and I'll give you that list again, where one of the characteristics of God is long-suffering, that long, patient endurance to achieve what needs to be achieved. And for us, it's our salvation. Best example of all. Okay, so let's kind of make this practical. How can we try to, either as Christians, patiently endure the long duration marathon thing, or be sensitive to that slow decay that would drag us back? Well, okay, let's start off. Again, four categories, thinking ahead. The first one that comes to my mind, Luke 14, where it talks about building a tower, going to war, counting the cost. Now, we can relatively quickly, in a matter of a few seconds, say, well, what you need to do is hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Okay? There, I said it in less than 5 seconds. And we talk about the plan of salvation being relatively simple, and in many ways it is. But underneath it is something more critical, if I could use that term, and that is the commitment that is needed. It's not, quote unquote, just hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But the underlying commitment that we are now contemplating for a lifetime. Because it's not just once and done, like many denominations teach. That's just the beginning. And some of these things really do imply a very deep, more deeply rooted sense of, you know, belief, not just superficial. Repentance, which goes deep in terms of what we've done that we shouldn't have done. You know, being willing to confess Jesus, not just once, but, you know, on an ongoing basis, etc. So again, not just simply. It's a long-term commitment. Something else about thinking ahead. Or, I don't know if I want to say thinking ahead or thinking back, but thinking. The temptation to look back. Thinking ahead And of course, that may bring to your mind, you know, Lot's wife, Genesis 19, verse 26, or Luke 17, verse 32. Thinking back, I think it was Jesus, and I forget the exact quote, but it's like, you know, if you're plowing a field, or, you know, working for him, and you're looking back to what you had been doing previously, or in our modern vernacular, if you're driving down the road and you're looking in the rearview mirror, or if you're looking behind you to the kids that are squabbling in the back seat, where's that car going to wind up? Right? Paul, similar thought, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Something else about thinking ahead. Earlier we talked about seeking motivating factors. I mean, what is it that can motivate an Olympic athlete to get up, you know, every day, early in the morning, start this rigorous physical routine most of the day, day after day, what they do, exercise, diet, etc. You know, what can motivate a person to do that? Well, likewise, in a spiritual sense, what can motivate us to get up every morning and start that same old routine and persist day after week after month after year? Something that's mentioned in the Bible very frequently, hope. You know, where are we trying to get to, guys? Heaven. Heaven. Just heaven. Well, okay, hold on a second. What does that mean? Let's, you know, dig a little bit deeper. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. But, and this is like when things start getting rough. What's the phrase? I'll think of it in a few moments. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Matthew 5. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Romans 8:24 talks about being saved by hope. A little bit later on in that verse, again, Romans 8:24. But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Colossians 1, verse 5 and verse 23. Talk about hope laid up for you in heaven. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard. Hebrews 3:6. Writer talking about us being as part of Christ's house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Again, a little bit further on, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 19, speaks of God as not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Goes on to talk about showing the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. A little bit further on, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Hebrews 10, near the latter part of the chapter, great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience. Desire for a heavenly country, Hebrews 11, and etc. Other motivating factors we should, you know, look ahead, keep in mind. Some could be things like, you know, love for God, love for Jesus, love for what he's done for us. Love for all the blessings, hope of salvation, etc. In some cases, maybe it's thinking of your children or your grandchildren and what you are doing and the example you're setting for them day after day after day. Sometimes that kind of motivating factor can be in terms of, you know, setting example for fellow Christians or getting encouragement from fellow Christians, etc. Education and training. Romans 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I like what Paul wrote Titus, which we just got through covering in George's class. Titus 2, 11 through 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared, teaching us, and it goes on to say, denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed, here we go again, hope. So, studying the scriptures, etc. Practice for the long haul. What does that mean? Well, in some ways, it kind of comes down to identifying bad habits, trying to overcome bad habits, trying to build good habits. And again, both of those are, you know, sustained, persistent kinds of things we need to do. Slowly get rid of that bad stuff, add new stuff. I say slowly get rid of, I mean, ideally if it's sin, you need to stop it. But that can be a challenge. But again, what's the shift in emphasis, so to speak? How about laying aside the things that weigh us down? Just, again, going back to the Olympic competition or endurance sports or whatever, you know, if you're going to be competing in anything like race, cycling event, swimming, whatever, you don't strap on a bunch of extra weight, right? That's just like, duh, you wouldn't do that. Never do that. And yet, from a Christian living perspective, sometimes we strap on extra weight in terms of our associations, in terms of the things we get involved with, etc. After having gone through Hebrews chapter 11 with all these faithful people that did all this good stuff persistently, Hebrews 12:1, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, sports analogy, right? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I mean, with these kind of words, I don't know how far you want to go with this analogy. We are all should be trying to be Olympic contenders, right? Because it's a long, prolonged endurance race with a reward at the end. And in general, several other kinds of things that scriptures talk about developing patience, developing endurance. Fruit of the Spirit gets mentioned, Galatians 5, verse 22, as well as Colossians 3, 12. Prayer is certainly an element of that. Ephesians 6, verse 18. James 5, 7 through 11, is certainly embedded in there as well. Talking about be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. A little bit further down, be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The example of Job, of suffering, affliction, patience, etc. Something else that we can kind of practice. And it's a simple thing. And I don't think the phrase is in the Bible, but the sentiment certainly is. Count your blessings. I mean, when we are trying to endure and the going gets harder, sometimes just stopping and counting your blessings. We have a song that we sing, you know, count your blessings, name them one by one. It may be you sit down with a blank sheet of paper and you start listing out stuff. You know, if life is starting to get you down, right? You know, the weeds are starting to grow up, or the, you know, the car is getting sluggish because the oil hasn't been changed in a while. And it's just like, oh, it's going to be a long slog. Okay, blank sheet of paper, start listing it out. You know, what can you be thankful for? List it. Flip the page over. List it, etc. Count your blessings. Putting reminders on calendar, like we talked about, in a physical sense. Periodic reflection. We mentioned that a little bit in class this morning. The spiritual equivalent of a health checkup. In fact, Carl sometimes would allude back to a lesson I presented a number of years ago that you can still find on the website under Lessons, Christian Living, Self-Assessment. That it might be useful, you know, to go back and open that thing up and look at the number of different categories. Again, not meant to be all inclusive. Say, well, you know, how well have I been doing over the last, you know, 2, 5, 10, 20 years on the subject of this or this or this or this? Again, persistence. And of the fourth category, paying attention. Paying attention. What'd you have in mind, Jeff? Well, here are some things potentially that you can think about. What does 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13 say? And I think we mentioned this in class this morning as well. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Isn't there a degree of pride? I'm doing fine. Doing fine. Well, that kind of overconfidence. I mean, self-confidence, okay. But overconfidence? Prideful attitude. Again, being mindful of, you know, simple things. Again, attendance, prayer, Bible study, relationships with others. Signs of weariness. Romans 2:7, patience, continuance. Here we go, Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary. You were probably wondering when I was going to go there. Okay, we're there. Galatians 6:9. But let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Likewise, Paul, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Just being mindful, watching carefully for those signs of growing weary. Especially when the going gets tough, quote-unquote, tribulations, Romans 5, 3 and 4. And the kind of attitude we should have, which definitely doesn't seem normal, but we should have. Glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Back to that. And again, likewise, Hebrews 10:32, where, you know, Paul is encouraging the people to call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Not exactly certain what that was, but let's read on. Partially while ye were made a gazing stock by reproaches, afflictions, and partially while ye became companions of them that were so used. I'm talking about being companions. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, in terms of losing physical possessions, perhaps, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I mean, within the ancient Greek culture, competition, Olympic Games, my understanding is, you know, they got a, you know, as part of acknowledgement, you know, having finished the race, the marathon, whatever, you know, a crown of wreath plant material, which, you know, quickly decays. Our promise, our reward at the end of this long, hard slog, far more enduring, right? Permanent, eternal life. The longest challenge of all. Same graphic as I had in the last sermon. Be thou faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. Romans 2:10. So what's the takeaway? In conclusion. Well, again, different phrases. Got to be positive. Got to be patient. Got to be persistent. Got to, quote unquote, keep on keeping on. It's a long slog. Because in this case, failure is not an option. You want to go ahead and get out your songbooks? Trying to be prepared for things that happen suddenly. Trying to persist in things that are sustained. It's all part of the package deal that's sometimes called being a Christian. And as I said earlier, yes, we can express, you know, the plan of salvation in relatively few words. But as I said before, there's an underlying long-term commitment. This is not just signing up for 4 years of college. You know, this is not just signing up for, you know, something that's a, you know, multi-year contractual whatever. This is for the rest of your life. That's how important or how serious it is. Not only the decision to become a Christian, but as a Christian, sometimes we fall into something quickly. Sometimes.
But sometimes it's these long, hard slogs that just get us down. Or we turn around and we realize, you know, we've wound up someplace where we really didn't want to be after, you know, a prolonged decay. And we need to, like the guy comes to his senses in the pig pen, as he was feeding the swine, need to come to our senses and repent. And basically that's what the invitation is all about. Becoming a Christian, acknowledging public sin as a Christian, or requesting prayers and encouragement of the congregation in all of our long-term desires to get to the goal. We now offer that opportunity to respond as we stand and sing.